This is a Pinball News production.
Like Rob said, I'm Steve Yates. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. This is my fourth year at Expo, second presentation. Last one, I tried to cram a whole bunch of technical information into an hour. This should be a lot quicker and lighter. Just quick demonstration of a couple tools I came up with for doing some touch-ups on play fields. The intent is to use water slide decals, the white water slide decals, to print artwork that's missing. And these couple tools I developed just to come up with ways to get a good image to start from and ways to draw the image before printing it onto the paper. I'm going to pass these around and you can look at these. This is just a very simple tool. I don't think I've ever heard this described anywhere, but it's very handy. What I'm trying to do is, first off, get a base image to start reproducing the artwork from. And I know Clay has shown on his DVDs where you can use the old HP 4600 scanners to get a nice image to start from. Unfortunately, those are hard to come by. HP gave up on making those quite a while ago, so if you can find them on eBay, you can get them. But they're hard to come by. So everybody's got digital cameras, so I'm trying to figure out a way to make use of that. One of the issues with digital cameras is that, you know, the benefit of the scanner over digital camera is that you put something against the scanner, you're getting a direct image, exactly what's there, nice and proportioned, everything nicely, evenly measured. When you take with a camera, you're never going to get directly head on. You're always going to have an angle, so things are going to come out kind of crooked looking. And especially if you're taking a camera with a flash, you don't want to get a head-on image usually because that flash is going to reflect right back at you with some glare. So the piece of paper I passed around, all it is, it's a simple little paper. It's got a bunch of little hash marks all over it. And very simple. What I had done then is I cut a hole in the paper, basically make a little frame of it out of the paper. And let me see if I can get a camera up here to show you what I'm doing. Just kind of lay this on. This is a beat-up play field. Nothing's been done to it. It's just something somebody loaned me. It's something I had handy that was stripped, so that's why I brought it. But basically, if you lay this frame around an area that you want to take a picture of, real quick, I'm going to do a live demo here where I'm going to go ahead and take a picture here. And I'll show you how I make this into a nice, nice base image to start with for doing the reproductions. I'm going to take a second picture here, just in case we have some time to show you a little bit more. I'm going to throw my business card into this picture just so we can tell the difference between the two pictures later. All right. And you have to give me a second here to go ahead and load these pictures into the computer, and I'll show you how I get a nice straight image out of this. I'm going to be using PaintShop Pro. That's the graphics tool I use for all the graphics editing I do. I'm assuming that most other graphics programs have the tools that PaintShop Pro has for this that I'm going to show you. Hopefully I'm not showing you something else that's obsolete like the scanner is, because PaintShop Pro, I notice, is owned by Corel now, so they don't quite offer the same package. I think whatever comes under the PaintShop Pro name is quite a limited tool now. That, I don't know. Adobe, okay, you're right. All right. Get the, hopefully the Windows picture scanner capture will come up here real quick. Okay, I'll load that into PaintShop Pro now. I don't know how clear anything's going to be on there, but the main thing I'm going to show here, let me zoom out so we can see the whole picture. You can see where I've just got this frame laid over my picture, or laid over the image that I want to recreate. Zoom out a little bit more. Now, one of the things that PaintShop Pro has is this perspective correction tool. This is one I'm assuming this should be in, you know, any halfway decent image correction or image editing program. But basically, this grid I have, you can see I've got some hash marks circled on here. Those hash marks that I've got circled form a nice rectangle. They're a nice little perfect rectangle on the paper. And so I'm just going to go ahead and do a quick perspective correction here. Perspective correction tool basically gives you a little rectangle that you can drag around. You drag the corners to where you want want to put them, and then when you apply the tool, it takes whatever section that you just put those on and makes a nice rectangle out of it. So give it a couple seconds, and now everything is nicely proportioned here the way it should be. After I've done that, I'm just going to go ahead and use this rectangle selection tool, and I'm going to highlight the rectangle that I just corrected. Once I've done that, I'm going to go ahead and crop this to this selection. You'll notice once I've cropped, you can still see some of the frame in there. But that's not a problem. I'm not trying to eliminate that. What I'm doing is that I'm making it so the image is only enclosed by those cross marks there. And if you look at that paper I passed around, all those hash marks are exactly half an inch apart on that thing. So now that I've got this, I can go ahead and just resize my image. I know my frame here is 3 inches by, the ones I circled are 3 inches apart in the short direction and 6.5 inches in the other. So I can go ahead and just come in here and change my size to 6.5 inch width and 3 inch height. And I'll go ahead and set the resolution to 300 dot per inch here, because that's what I usually work with when I'm doing some editing. And actually, if you look at the top of the thing, the original dimensions of this picture were 1766 by 811. The resized ones are 1950 by 900. So it's real close to the original resolution right now. That just happened because how close I was to the playfield when I took the picture. So that's the other issue with taking with the cameras. You can't know exactly what size you took. The size varies depending on how close you were to the image. But now that I've resize that. I think I resized it. Let me make sure it happened. It didn't look like anything went. Yeah, it's showing as 6.5 by 3 inches now. So I'm just going to go ahead and print this image out real quick. And you know, if I lay it right on the playfield, it should look like it's perfect size. So that gives us a nice base image to start from to redraw the artwork and clean it up. All right, that'll print up. I'll show you the second image I pulled in. Did this just to kind of show you that you don't have to be perfect when you're taking the picture once you've got that frame in place. You can see I took this one from a much more extreme angle, but the tool still worked just fine doing that. I'll do that at the end if anybody's interested in seeing that. But I'm going to try and cut out this picture now and just lay it on the original image and see if it looks like it came out to the right size. You can kind of see there that it's lines up fine with the little rocket blast there and the big star over on the right. So that gives us the base image to start from without needing that scanner. One of the other benefits of this over the scanner is that you don't have to have the play field completely stripped, generally, to be able to fit a frame on there and take a picture of what you need. Normally, if you're going to be doing the touch-ups, you want to strip it all down anyway. But taking a picture of your worn-out play field is one thing, but it's much nicer if you can start with a picture of a really nice play field. So you can get somebody that's got a good game nearby, take a picture of his. He doesn't have to strip his whole thing down, so you can scan it. And it's also, this grid here is very easy to just email to somebody, give them some directions, tell them what to cut out, where to position it, and somebody can email you a picture back. So you don't have to actually be physically at a machine to get the picture to start with. Any questions on that?
Steve, after you get this usually the white down and then slide
out, thank you? No, I'm using the white water slide decal paper. So the paper's got the white, and I just print over that. Yeah, seems to work pretty good. I haven't gone too far with this. This is something I came up with just a couple months ago. Haven't actually applied anything directly to a play field yet. I've been doing some tests on some plywood and a little bit like that, but it seems to work pretty well. The white comes out kind of bright. I've tried to, I'll just pass a sample around that I did for my Meteor, and show you that I've tried to dull it down a little bit. That's one thing I still need to figure out, is doing some good color matching on the white. But the next part I'm going to show is how to do the color matching on the other colors. Because, you know, you've got this picture here now. This is just a JPEG image, a bunch of random color dots all over the place. And the tools I developed here are the reason I want them, I'm working mostly on older games, the EMs and the early solid states, and the games that had used spot color for the printouts or for the play field, all the artwork. So they basically just, you know, did one silk screen for each color. Everything's nice solid colors. There's no real shading going on. There's some, you know, small little areas of black or whatever laid over a color to try and do a little bit of shading, but it's not real complex. It's all, everything's individual colors. You know, you might have 15 colors on a back glass or something. You know, usually like 8 to 15 colors. So I'll show you real quick in Paint Shop Pro. What you want to do basically is redraw everything over the original image. And in PaintShop Pro, to get a color, here's the dialog box they pick up to pick what color you want to print. You can see they just got this ring here basically to pick a hue to get a general idea what kind of color you want. And then for each hue, you've got this big whole area to pick a bunch of colors from. It's very hard to figure out a color that's going to match something, especially because what you see on the screen is not going to match what you see on your printer. There are some tools available to try and coordinate and calibrate your printer and your screen together, but I'm not too worried about that. I don't really care what it looks like on the screen. All I'm worried about is what comes out on the printer. You can see there's an awful lot of colors to pick from, and basically what happens, whenever you pick a color, the way the graphics programs work and the graphics files hold them, each color is made up of a red, green, and a blue value. You basically have 256 values for each one, so you can set it to anything between 0 and 255. Doing that, you've got 256 times 256 times 256 colors, so you've got 16 million colors your printer can supposedly generate. Not all of them are necessarily going to look different, but that's how many values you can pick. So it's obviously it's going to be kind of tricky to figure out exactly what color you want to print with. So we'll get back to my presentation. This is where I've got a couple slides explaining the color a little bit. This is the only real technical part going on here. It's kind of a 3D thing. You know, you've got red, green, and blue to worry about. So you've got three different dimensions. So here's just a basic grid. And I'll show you, if you ignore red for the moment, the screen here just shows you if you're varying the green and blue values. You know, you get the vertice in the middle there is black, and if you just increase the green without increasing the blue, you get pure green here. If you increase just the blue going up, you get pure blue, and if you vary them both, you know, you get some shade in between there, and that's just if you ignore the red. You can do the same thing ignoring the green, just showing blue and red varying on that other plane. And ignoring blue, you can see the variations from green and red. What you'll notice here is that when you've got maximum green and red, you get yellow. When you get maximum green and blue, you get cyan. And green and blue. And maximum red and blue is magenta. Those are the three colors the air printer is actually going to print with. Those are the colors of the ink in your printer. They'll use a combination of those and black to print the image. But you don't really have to worry about that. The graphics program and the printer driver and everything in the system will do the conversions for you. So as long as you know what value of red, green, and blue you're using to generate a given output, you're okay. And like I say, you've got, on each of those panes right there, you've got 256 times 256. So you've got 16,000 colors on each of those three planes. And then that's ignoring the whole cube that you get when you vary all three colors together. You know, that's where you've got those 16 million colors. So it's nearest corner there is white, the far corner will be black, and you've got all those colors in between. To try and narrow it down a little bit, you can see I've taken 16 cross sections there of this cube. So I've got basically just chose 16 values of red evenly spaced between the 0 and 256 and sliced it up into individual slices. So here's like one of the slices taken out. This is for a red value of 200. This one's kind of upside down compared to the others, but you've got green, you know, like 0 and 0 for red and blue, or green and blue at the top. Green increases as you go down, blue increases as you go across. So on there, again, you've got 16,000 different colors you can pick for red having a 200 value. Here, what I've done then is I've done, again, 16 sections left and right for the blue and the green. It's hard to see. There's very tiny dots there. Here, this will just kind of blow up what you see there. And so now I've got just 16 by 16. So I've got 256 colors there. A bit more manageable. And you can see that in a lot of cases, jumping from 16 values, the color looks pretty much the same. So you're not losing a whole lot by doing the sampling like this. What I've done with this then, basically, is taken these 16 pages, or 16 screens of red with the 16 by 16 blue and green values, and I've printed up these, printed up a page for each one of these. So this is going to be, I'm using like the Sherwin-Williams value of color matching, where I'm going to print a bunch of color samples, and I'm going to use these to do my matching. This is pretty well distributed across the colors that the printer can do. So this is for red equals 8. And you can see I've got 16 different screens. They all look basically the same. As we step through them, you see a slight change in each of the colors. As you get towards the higher reds, you see definite difference from the previous ones. All right, so once you've got those, basically what I do is print each of these up. I print them on the same paper that I'm planning to use to do my artwork restorations. I print them, got some white water slide decal, I printed them up here. And I don't know how easy it is to see from up here, but where you've got these white strips between the colors, I actually took an X-Acto knife and went through and cut all those out. So there's little window holes in there now. That's a big hassle, but it's useful. Let's see what I can... I can show this here. What I do with these then is I take them, find a color that looks close to me, and I just kind of slide my window across the play field over the color I'm trying to match, and try and find something that looks close. It still takes an eye. I don't really have the eye for color matching, so it's still hard, but you can get there narrowed down pretty good. A couple guesses, you can try some things. One of the nice things about this is that once you do get a color that matches, it's easily reproducible. If you're trying to do paint matching, mix up a little batch. If you didn't mix up enough, you've got to kind of match it all over again. At least you know what you started with, what paints and the approximate things, but trying to get another exact match is kind of tough. But this will be easily reproducible. Any questions on that? Yes? I wrote a little Java program to print these up. They're just generated them into a file. So I've got a set of 16 PNG images. Those are available for download on my website if you want. They're out there free. I've got these grids that are available too. I mean, those are very simple things, but it's realpinball.com. I'll have that up here in a minute too. It's tools.realpinball.com. Actually, we're going to go there now because I want to show you there's a little bit more refinement to this available. Okay, so this is tools.realpinball.com. Here, this is where you can download a zip file. It's got both a letter size and a legal size version of this grid here. And then download the color book here. This will give you the zip file with all those images in it, so you can print them up. Like I say, you want to print them up on whatever media you're going to be doing this on, basically. My original attempt with this, instead of cutting all these slits, I was going to print all the colors on a transparency and be able to see through it a little bit more. And I figured I may have to actually, hold the white paper behind the color squares I'm trying to compare, but at least I have the transparency next to the color, and it really didn't look right at all. So I found the only way to really do it is to, make the sacrifice of the media. Basically, this will all fit on 8 pages right now. Their size, so that you can fit 2 on an 8.5 by 11 sheet. But then where it comes in, like I say, you can get real close with this, but there's still colors you're missing that you could do better with. So I've got this here. This is the other refinement. Basically, you can come in here. Once you've got a color that you think looks close, you can come onto my website here, enter in the values that you see, select that Get Color Slip. This is going to bring you up a little strip of paper. It's like the image is 1.5 inches wide. It'll fit sideways on an 8.5 by 11 sheet. Basically, for these values that I plugged in here, if you look at the bottom of the image, It's hard to tell. Usually is hard to tell here, but this strip here is actually three different colors. Right in the middle here is the color value that I entered. So basically the color that I found closest on my pages of my color book. To the right here, I've got a half inch by half inch square that has slightly more blue. Before, since I had taken 16 steps of everything, everything was 16 values apart. All the pages are 16 values apart for red and all the blue and green values. So what I'm doing here is basically looking for values in between. This is 8 more blue than the color I picked. This is 8 less blue. And then if we go up here, here's 8 less green with the same 3 values of blue and 8 more green with the same 3. And then up top here on the left, these 3 bars are the same 3 as here, but with 8 less red, and then you got 8 more red over here. So you got 27 different shades that are close to the color you want. And I'll pass some of these around if people want to take a look to see what these look like. I'm not going to pass the pages around because they're somewhat fragile, and I don't want to have to go recreating those anytime soon. I'll take a stack. Some of them you can see obvious differences in the shade. Some of them are very close. You don't really even notice the difference. But using those, slide around, I can actually get some pretty decent results, I think. Here's some samples you want to print, pass around. This is all recreated artwork for Meteor. I did a little bit of a Playfield or a Playboy Playfield just to show some of the that even these odder colors they can match pretty well. Took a few pictures just to kind of show what I had done. Let's see if I can find. See if you can see this. I've got the overlay laying across my play field, and you can see that it matches pretty well with color and size. So it's sort of obvious there. I don't have it laying perfectly exact, so you can kind of see where the end of the sticker is there, and then it comes down here. I redrew the two rockets here. This rocket here was in good shape on mine, but these were really worn off. So you can see the white's definitely brighter than what's nearby. Other than that, you know, the blue matches up fairly well, and things came out pretty acceptable, I think. I don't know. Anybody have any other questions? Yeah.
Okay, so you said you printed on water slide, right?
Right.
That's obviously on the surface. Do you put Mylar over the top of
it? The plan is clear coat with Varathane. I did one quick sample of something that I'd stuck on some plywood, and I think I need to really give a light coat first. I think I put too heavy of a coat on. It kind of bubbled the decal a little bit. I know some people have used water slide decals. I know they use the clear more than the white, I think. But I know Clay has done some clearing over water slide. So I think it's possible. I haven't gone through the whole process yet, but I think this is useful, you know, even for not using water slide, for using other items. This is a good way to use a camera to get the image started, and pretty much anything you're printing up, you can do the color matching with this as long as you print your color book stuff on the media you're going to use. Yeah?
So you start by sizing the area and then do the color?
Right. I get the image the right size first. So, I mean, I'm still going to use vector process to draw over it, but I'm not really using the vector to get the ability to easily resize it later. I've got the correct size to start with. But the vector still makes it easier to redraw things and adjust things as you're going.
And I noticed you're using an inkjet printer.
Yes.
Tried laser?
No, I have not. I don't have a laser color accessible to me. That does remind me, though, one thing I didn't stress, if you do download these photo grids here, print them up. You got to print them in a graphics program, first off. Even Windows Paint will work. Don't try printing them from your browser or this Windows Picture Viewer, because it doesn't care about printing it actual size. It's just going to print it to a size that it likes. And you know, so after you print it, I'd suggest measuring, make sure everything's a half inch apart. So I was actually going to print up a bunch of these on my laser printer. I got a black and white laser. I was going to just, you know, pass them out if people wanted them. And I printed one and noticed it was a little off for some reason, which kind of confused me because I think I've used it before and gotten okay, but things definitely weren't accurate enough, so I wouldn't have used that.
Where did you buy your water slide?
I've got them from papilo.com. Papilo, I think it's P-A-P-I-L-L-O, I believe. I had gotten some before from decalpapers.com also. It seemed to work fine. You know, this is something I'd done a while ago before I got into this, but I printed up a few things I thought looked pretty good. when I went to try some things later using paper that I'd bought earlier, the ink just didn't seem to want to stick to them for some reason. I don't know if maybe dust had settled, but I mean, they were in a pack, so they shouldn't have gotten too dusty. I've noticed dust might have been a problem on some of these others that I've, you know, printed on partial on a paper and tried to reuse short, you know, a day or so later. So I don't know what the issue was, really. I went to the Papilo and just kind of stuck with that. Decal papers is a little cheaper, so if you can get it to work for you, it might be better.
You allowed me too much of the process. I don't have Ink Shop Pro. What was the material that you did?
On here they call it perspective correction. You're welcome. So anybody have experience with Photoshop or any other graphics tool, the GIMP on Unix that, or Linux, that knows for sure whether a perspective correction type tool is available? Yes?
There's a tool, a plugin called EP GUI that basically will do both the Linux correction signal, if you let me hit cushioning or barrel correction from the left, and also will allow you to do perspective correction.
Okay. All right, great. That's for Paint Shop or Photoshop?
Yeah.
Okay. So there are some things available. That's one thing I haven't tried much to correct, and I've noticed. Oh, PT Lens? All right, thanks. The PT Lens plugin is available for Photoshop. The barrel distortion is a little bit of an issue still. I've noticed that if I really take a picture of the grid and expand it and try and draw straight lines, some of the hash marks will be slightly off from there. Not critical for the most part for what you're doing. I mean, you definitely want it real accurate around the edge of the sticker so that it lines up with the original artwork. If anything else in the within your decals is slightly off, it's not going to be noticeable. I just noticed there's a fisheye tool on here, and I'm not sure what else that might help me correct that. I haven't tried that yet. Yes?
Steve, would you be able to know the thickness of the decal?
No, I don't offhand. I know it's a very thin decal. What I passed around was the decal with the backing paper. I know it comes out very thin once it slides off of there. I know they do mention it on the Papilo website. They've got the thickness listed there. Yes?
How much time, once you slide this off, I assume you use water.
Right.
And then you use chemical. But once you slide that off, how much time do you have to position that?
You've got some time. What I had done to Papilo also has I forget what they call it, but the water slide application liquid. You know, it's a fluid that you can put on the play field. It's a little slipperier than water. I kind of spread some of that out first, so it does give you some time. You can slide it around on that. Once you got it in position, you can use a rubber squeegee to flatten it out, and then you want to wipe off, you know, all the water off your play field as soon as you can.
Well, for just general information, I did check with that website, and they do make the water towel paper. One for inkjet and one for laser.
Right. Yeah, you definitely want to get some for the, because the inkjet paper is made to absorb the ink a little bit better, make sure it sticks on there and doesn't, you know, spread out and slide around. So it works really well so far with the HP printer I've got. The other thing I think you got to worry about, I'm afraid, I had an actual HP ink cartridge in my printer when I printed up these samples. I'm afraid to go ahead and use any cheap ink now because I think it's not going to match exactly, so I'd have to print up another set of these pages if I really wanted to go ahead and do that. Anybody else? Let me get my website up here. Tools.realpinball.com. You'll have to go there right now. I don't have a link on my main page to find this, but I'll get one up before the weekend's over. And if you have any questions or comments, if you got any suggestions on how to improve this, I'm open to anything. So it's steve@realpinball.com. Yes?
Final question on your camera, where you have to set it for resolution.
Mm-hmm.
If you set that to the highest resolution, then you get huge files.
Right.
To set your camera to the highest.
I would recommend it, yeah, get the highest you can. Mine was at the highest, and that's a 10-megapixel camera that I picked up recently. And like I say, it came out to almost 300 dots per inch at the closest level that I was at. So I was going to, if we got a minute or two, I was going to show something just in case. I don't know how many people are familiar with redrawing things in vector. I don't want to get into too much details. I'm not an expert on this either. But if anybody wants to see a quick example of, this is the sample that I passed around. This is actually the original artwork. That's the original photo I took off of a pretty decent play field. Let's see here. This is to kind of show you. That's what my play field looked like. So that's what I'm trying to fix up. But if we take that off, you know, the graphics program, graphics editing programs like this let you work in several different layers, and you know you've got raster layers and vector layers. So any kind of photo you take is just a raster layer. It's just a set of dots of specific color, and it's much easier in the graphics tools to work with a given work with the vector layer. That lets you draw circles, shapes, you know, random shapes, in a nice solid color, and it makes it easy to adjust your shapes as you go. And working in different layers, it lets you keep things kind of segregated. So like right now, I've got most of my layers turned off, so you can't see them. But if you look here, I'll turn on this dark blue layer. So that's right. I redrew, basically just go over and trace everything that's on the picture. Just kind of went using the pen tool, just made little dots all along the outer edge of the design. So you can kind of see that the blue went there. If I turn off the display of the original image, you can more clearly see what I had drawn. So I just did that by just tracing over, and I just like I showed with showed you how to get the color to use to do that, and then just kind of I pretty much put one color on each layer. Makes it easier to know, especially if I decide I've got a better color I can use. It makes it easier to go ahead and change the color of all the items that use that color, because I can see they're on one layer. I've actually got a few layers, like I've got several white layers. Sometimes it's easy to just draw one big blob of white and then draw some more, another color over that. And then sometimes it's easier to, if there's white in the middle of things, to go ahead and draw the white again on top of that. Here, you can see on that rocket, I drew a big one big blob of white and then drew some blue on there. Drew the yellow in there, drew orange on top of that. And then added some black detail. So even though there was black there before, it was easier for me to just draw a big blob of white and then draw black over the white to add in the details than to draw the white as a bunch of individual pieces. And then I think I might have thrown a few more white. Yeah, add a little bit more white on top of the orange there to make it clearer. If nobody else has any other questions, that's it.